Do you ever have one of those occasions where you kind of just thought of the past, your life in the whole nine yards, where you just kind of started thinking? The other day I had that experience where I was just thinking, and all of a sudden I remembered that, you know, my dad died at 52 years old, and I'm 68. So I've outlived my father's life by 16 years. Now that thought got me to another thought, and the next thought was, I wonder what my life would have been like had he lived to my age. I'd have been 32 years old when he died then, if he just lived to my age. How would that have affected me? How would that have changed me? How would having, in a sense, my dad, because, I mean, be real up front with you, up until the time my father died, I was the All-American boy. I was National Honor Society, most likely to succeed. I was an Eagle Scout. I was a Good Citizenship Award. I did everything in order. But then my dad died, and to tell you, all that went out the window. It took me 5 schools in 5 years to get through college. I had a lot of fun. But the bottom line is everything changed. Was it just due to that, or was it due to something else? I don't know. But what would it have been like had he lived till I was 32 years old? Would I be where I am now? Would I be doing what I'm doing now? What would have happened? Now, y'all have had watershed experiences in your life. Maybe it wasn't a parent dying. Might not have been. But it might have been a sibling who had a real severe illness. Could have been moves that your family made where they moved you more often than you wanted to be moved, or where it was a significant move. It might have been where there were hardships, you know, maybe a bankruptcy. We all have had our hardships. And isn't that where, in a sense, sort of we're molded and shaped into the people that we are, the events of our life? Isn't that sort of what sort of affects us? And we have a choice on which direction we want to go. I mean, will an event in your life that's very difficult, will it move you to mold you and shape you into a man of confidence or a woman of confidence? Or will it make you more and more fearful? Sort of more and more, you know, let's say less trusting. A person who sort of says, I got to get it all for me. Is it a time that makes you more generous, or is it something that makes you more stingy? What does life do to you? What do those events of your life do? You know, I thought of that when I looked at the gospel for today. The gospel today is an interesting gospel. It's the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and there's really two parts to it. And so I'm going to deal with the first part, and then I'm going to deal with the second part. But the first part is where he enters his own hometown. Now, Jesus, he can't be more than 30 or 31 years old. That's it. He dies at 33. There's not that much time left. And 30 years old was when he got baptism. That's what most scholars believe. And here he comes into his own hometown. What happens when he comes in? He comes in and he gets in. He's at the synagogue. He speaks. And everybody's in awe. What's going on? Where did this guy get all this wisdom? How can he do the deeds of power that he's doing? You know, wait a second. Isn't this the son of Mary and, you know, and James and Jose and all the other brothers and his sisters? And isn't he that? And it says very clearly, not a whole lot of things could get done in there because the people didn't believe. You know, I did some thinking on that. Why is it that it couldn't happen? Well, maybe that's because they thought of him as, you know, Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary. Not Jesus, the Son of God. They couldn't get beyond that stumbling block. I wonder how many times I've missed that point where I thought, well, now he can't do it. You know, he's just like me. Because you see, if you don't tie into the power, then how are you going to tie into the solution? But I started to think. They were raising all those questions. And then I remembered something very clearly that I learned, and that was that most scholars believe that Jesus probably lost his father, Joseph, in his teenage years. That he probably died somewhere between, say, the ages of 14. We know he was alive at 12, but that's the last reference to Joseph in the scriptures. And then after that, it's almost he's gone. And as you can see here, obviously Joseph's gone because he's the son of Mary. He's not the son of Joseph anymore. He's the son of Mary. His life would have been different had he come into his hometown and his father was alive. Let me tell you right now, in Jewish tradition, they wouldn't be saying the things they said, not out. Why? Why? Because his father would have been one of the rulers of that village in Nazareth. His father would have been one of the strong people that raised up. He may have just been a carpenter, but he was an Orthodox Jew. He would have lived his life in the right way. And to tell you the truth, nobody's going to challenge a father like that. But they will challenge his son because he's just a young buck. And the people that were talking, it wasn't a bunch of, you know, little old ladies sitting around talking. The ones that were talking were the ones who could talk. It was the men who were older in that synagogue. They were the ones that were saying, how can he do these deeds of power? What would life have been like had Joseph lived a little bit longer? Would Jesus have ended up where he ended up? I gotta believe so. But would he have ended up different where he was? And what are the lessons that Jesus learned from going into that situation? What were the lessons that Jesus learned? Because after all, doesn't life inform you? Doesn't life teach you? Doesn't life experience sort of tell you where you should go next? I think you learn a real lesson in the second part of this gospel. Because in the second part of this gospel, what happens as soon as he leaves his own hometown? He sends out the disciples two by two. Sends them out. He tells them real clearly. Number one, what I want you to do is take a staff, and I want you to wear sandals. But I don't want you to take any bread, no bag, no money in your belt, and don't wear two tunics. Don't do that. In other words, I want you to pack light. Pack light. Now, if you get into a home and they receive you, stay there until you're done doing your work. But if they don't receive you, well, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them and get out. You know, I always thought that meant, I thought that was my place in life where I said, Jesus even teaches, I can keep my resentments. But I don't believe that that's what it is. I believe what he's saying is this. I think he's saying, no, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off. Don't carry it with you. Pack light. Because otherwise, you're not going to be able to do the purpose I sent you out to do. You're going to be too busy worrying about why they didn't accept you. Did you ever notice in the first part? The only response Jesus had when they didn't accept him was, a prophet's never welcome in his own hometown or by his kin or in his own house. I'm not going to worry about it. Why? Because he knew who he was and he knew who he wasn't. And he knew he was the Son of God, and he knew that he wasn't like, you know, everybody else in the way they dealt with stuff. I mean, if it had been me and I'd gotten rejected in my own hometown, to tell you the truth, the first thing I've been doing is picking apart everybody in that town. I would have been saying, I knew they didn't like me. I knew it back when I was 2 years old. They didn't like me. They never liked my father either. The heck with them. I probably wouldn't have said heck, though. I would be picking them apart. I'd be going after them. But the truth of the matter is Jesus doesn't do that. He realizes, no, move on. Move on. Pack light. Move on. Don't take the resentment on. Shake that dust from here. Don't let that affect you. Know who you are and do your purpose in life. You know, everybody here has had those watershed events in your life. What was yours? Did you lose a parent like me? Did you have a difficult time growing up? Maybe somebody didn't treat you well when you were in school. Maybe you had an uncle that was a real jerk to you. Maybe you had things that just didn't sort of fall into place. Maybe it was stuff that just kind of welled up. And you really can't identify it, but you always know that you didn't do it. What do you do with that? Do you hold that resentment? Because if you do, then the truth of the matter is you're not living in today, you're living back then. You know, a resentment is really good. It's giving free rent to somebody else in your brain. And besides that, resentment takes you back into the past and keeps you locked into that past event. You never get over it. You had a loss? Well, you know what? Grow up. We all do. Move on from it. Learn from it. Go on. Pack light. Don't get attached to material things so much that they control your life. Jesus said, look, just take a staff and take sandals. Don't take any bread. Don't take any bag. Don't take any money in your belt. Don't take anything. Don't take it. Don't get tied up within yourself. Why? Because power really manifests itself, as Paul says, in weakness. When you finally get to the place where you're not dependent upon what you, in a sense, have the ability to have in your hands, but you say, I've done the best I can so far to be where I am, and you let God work through you, something happens. You're delivered into a place where grace is sufficient. Do you realize that no event in your life should keep you back where you were? Do you realize that no event in your life or loss in your life should make you go to where all of a sudden you got to keep rolling those tapes over and over and over in your head to defend yourself in how they got it wrong? But you've got to let go of it and let God come into it. How many of you, how many times have I sort of locked down into something somebody said? And it's held on to you maybe for weeks, maybe for months, maybe even for years. And it's not freed you up. You see, God wants you free. That way you can fulfill his purpose. How many of you here made a mistake years ago? Years ago. And you still keep playing it over and over and over and over in your head. And you asked forgiveness at least 100,000 times so far. But you thought, well, it just didn't take, I guess. It took the first time. You didn't get it the first time. Let it go. God wants you free. Free of attractions, free of resentments. Because then you're in the place to have the ability to do his purpose. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you don't get bogged down. Let me tell you something right now. Not everybody in your life is going to like you. That's just going to happen. Not everybody in your life is going to say, oh, geez, you're so wonderful. But the God that you have every time will let you know he loves you. The God that you have every time will give you grace to get through anything. The God that you have will never give up on you. After all, Jesus says, lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. As you come to the Eucharist, know this. He's going to feed you. It's sufficient. And go and be free. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.